I was just like, there's buttons on here that I don't know what they are. Like, you know, you look at the Google Pixel and it's complicated, but it's still simple. It's like, oh, touch the screen, you can make it brighter or darker. I didn't know what ISO and aperture were, you know, at that time. So looking at the camera, I was just like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot. Guess what, my photo friends? It is time for another Community Spotlight interview. This is where I interview you, a member of the Beginner Photography Podcast community, to learn why you got into photography, what you're struggling with right now, how you overcame it, and how you see the world. Today, we are chatting with Ty Reddick. Now, you may know him from the group from his awesome images of firefighters, fire trucks. Ty has a really interesting journey into photography that I found very inspiring, uplifting, you may say. Now, to see Ty's progress over the past few months has just really been great. And today, it was just an absolute blast chatting with him. So with that, let's just go ahead and get on into today's Community Spotlight interview with Ty Reddick. Ty, we start real easy here. I just want to know, who are you and what do you do?
Well, my name's Ty Reddick. I live in Denver, Colorado. And after listening to, you know, a recent episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast talking about five tips, I am proud to say that I am a photographer.
Yes.
I do everything that I possibly can. And I'm kind of still in that weird area of like, what do I want to focus on? So yeah, that's what I do. I'm also in recovery, and I work for a company called Advocates for Recovery, which is near and dear to my heart. And it's also a place where I get to practice my photography. I get to help other people find recovery like I found. So that's kind of the little nutshell blurb, you know, who I am. But, you know, there's definitely a story behind it. So I'd be happy to share that.
Yeah, let's start there. How did photography find its way into your life?
So I discovered photography completely on accident. February 27th was my original clean date. And I kind of walked into the Salvation Army, unsure of anything. Like, I didn't know how to like feel anything. I was just kind of a blank slate. And I remember my dad dropping me off and the look in his eyes that I was finally safe somewhere after years and years of chaos. But I remember that like emotional connection that I had to that view of him, watching him leave. And it's like imprinted on my mind, you know, one of those core memories. And then a month later, he came back. I was on blackout for that first 30 days. And a month later, he came back with my credit card and my wallet. And, you know, I went, you know, like somebody truly who's an addict, I went hard balls to the wall and I bought a Google Pixel 2 with my tax return instead of smartly saving my money, you know, like I should be. But it was contraband to have the phone inside the facility that I was living in. So I hid it like in my mattress at my room, and all my roommates knew it was there because, you know, in my heart, my original intent was to share the phone with other guys in the program with me so they could call their families, you know, because, you know, I knew my dad was out there for me, but I figured there's all these people who have families that they couldn't reach. So that was my original intent. It morphed into so much more than that. I, you know, eventually I got the ability to kind of just wander around Denver. And as I did, I had my phone with me all the time. I took pictures of skyscrapers, took pictures of, you know, construction, leaves on the ground, like all these stereotypical photos that, you know, a lot of people originally take out, and then everything in between. You know, I'd stick my phone down, you know, like sewers, you know, and like, ooh, what's down there with the light on and stuff. But then, you know, I would use like Snapseed by Google to go edit all those photos back then, and crazy contrasts, overly saturated skies, you know, vignette on everything because
always.
It looks so cool.
Yep.
In the 80s. but I've got a love-hate relationship with all of those first photos. I really do, because I just, yeah.
You're not alone.
But yeah. But fast forward to the end of 2018, my mom gave me her T3i that had been sitting on the shelf forever. Because she saw that all the posting that I was doing on social media was just photos. Like, I wasn't focused on, you know, responding to this or that. I was like, let me just show the world my images. Fear definitely inside of that, because I was like, how are people going to respond to these photos? But I want to share them because it's something that makes me happy. But she even stole one of my photos from Facebook at one point, and she printed it out on this little 8x10 standout, and it's actually up there on my wall right now. It's like my first picture of Union Station. It's horrible. Like the sky is this unnatural shade of blue, and Union Station is yellow, but like the frame up on it's pretty cool. But then as I progressed, like a friend reached out in recovery for his wedding photos, and he paid me $200 for what turned out to be a complete financial loss.
Of course.
But it was a great time and a learning experience, and I ran with it. Those photos I've kind of shared in the group at times, you know, when people are asking, you know, then and now. And, you know, like I said, that horrible vignette that I decided to use, like my highlights were blown out, poor reception lighting, I didn't understand ISO, crazy edits, and that damn vignette. But I even hired a second shooter at that time, which I don't know why. Like, I didn't know why I thought I was on this caliber that I needed a second shooter, but I did. And he came with me, and it was all bad. Like, side note, for anybody out there who's trying to get into any sort of business with photography, have some contracts in place. That whole situation just ended terribly with a stolen memory card and yeah, lots of bad things happening. Wow. Fortunately, I did get enough photos for the couple to present to them. But I remember I would go down to the local library up here in Denver. I didn't have a car. I didn't have anything at that point in time. I just had my Google Pixel, or, you know, at this time I had my mom's T3i. And I would go down to the local library, which is a mile down the road. I would walk, and I'd go in there almost every single day to edit whatever photos I took for that day. And the librarians were like, "Hey, Ty, how are you doing?" And I'm like, "Hey, can I have my memory card reader, please?" And they got to know me by name, and it was a good time. And I would spend hours in there. Like, it was, you know, I didn't know that I could, you know, use a big professional computer yet. You know, I was like using these old chaotic, you know, like library computers to edit photos on Google. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it took forever. But then after that, you know, in 2020, when everything started, you know, going haywire, I had a book that I picked up at a local tattered cover bookshop, which is just downtown. And I remember I had to, I couldn't, they wouldn't give me the restroom code without buying something. So I had to buy the book, and I was like, cool, got it. It sat on my shelf for a year until 2020. And there was all these like daily challenges in it, daily, weekly, monthly, year long term projects. So I spent 2020 doing that. Everything from architecture to the color green, silhouettes, motion, they were all topics. And then by the time I started investing in software, I had upgraded to Lightroom at that point in time, Lightroom Mobile, which was a huge game changer for me. And I fell in love with it. I was too afraid to use like real Lightroom, you know, Lightroom Classic. So I was like, mobile version, so much better. Look at it. So fancy. It's only $20 a month, whatever. You know, I paid for that. And then, and that helped me kind of get my stuff more organized, because it wasn't all over chaotic, all over Google. Like, I'm not one of those most organized people where I have albums set aside. I do now. Scratch that.
Good.
I wasn't then, but I do have albums all over the place of every single topic, like Union Station. I have Union Station 11, 17, 21, Union Station 11, 24, 21, like every single time. But then at the end of 2020, I used money from a wedding to upgrade to 6D Mark II. And I've kind of enjoyed it ever since, although I am eyeing an R or an R5, but I won't pull the trigger till all of my events this year actually pay off. And I figure, cool, now let's see, what do I actually need?
Wow.
So that's me.
There's you. There's a lot to get into right there. I want to go back to the Pixel, right? The Pixel, I think when it came out, like, they were really trying to make that pretty photo focused. So I know that there was a lot of more advanced features on it than other cameras, but you know, you originally bought it for one purpose, to help others communicate with their loved ones. What was it about opening the camera? Like, what was it that got you from there to, I'm going to stick this phone down a sewer and take a photo of what's inside? That seems like a bit of a leap there.
You know, a lot of my life now, like, relates to recovery. So I, you know, just the other day, February 27th, I got 4 years clean and sober. And so a lot of the groups that I, you know, I'm a part of, I tell them, like, I'm a 4-year-old right now. Like, I can pay my taxes. Yes, I can figure out how to use HoneyBook. You know, yes, I can do all these things. Thank you, Raymond, for the recommendation on CloudSpot, because it's been a game changer. Like, all of these things, like, I can figure out. But what I was never able to figure out before was the basics, like how to operate in a world where everybody else is constantly moving. And so with my camera, you know, everything was new. Like, everything that I looked at, you know, the skyscrapers of downtown that I have a wonderful view of right here, you know, the leaves on the ground, you know, for someone who was 37 years old, I had never appreciated the simple things. I didn't, you know, the sky being blue. I spent a lot of years, you know, locked in a basement doing all sorts of horrible things. And so looking up for the first time versus looking down was like this new experience. So yes, when I saw sewers, I was just like, what's down there? Let me be a 4-year-old and stick my, you know, sharp knife in an electrical socket and find out what happened.
Wow. So, I mean, but you had to have, okay, so hold on. Let me try to wrap my head around this. This is really interesting. I did not come from a similar place in photography where I just kind of felt more of like an extension, I suppose, to who I was when I was actively trying to learn. So for you, was the biggest thing the excitement? It was just the newness of it all that kept you going despite. Did you know that you were taking bad photos at the time, or is this now, you know, one of those hindsight type things?
Oh, I knew I was taking terrible photos at the time, but they were the coolest thing ever for me. Like,
okay. What was it that kept you going? What was it that, was it that curiosity, or was it something else? Was it something specifically about photography?
I think it was the opportunity to do something for myself. It was, no one else could take the picture for me. No one else could walk the streets and see the things that I could see. They could. I could take friends with me. But like every experience I had with my camera in my hand was just new to me. Mm-hmm. And I was driven more and more and more to capture different things. And, you know, yeah, I upgraded to the T3i and the 6D, you know, and I did that photo walk for, you know, a year of different topics and everything. But like, everything about it, whether it be taking pictures of, you know, the judicial building downtown, was like, cool. I like that I got up on the 6th floor of this parking garage to go take that photo. I like what it looks like when I go edit it. How do I duplicate that? How do I do that again? How do I keep going? You know, I love seeing people on 16th Street Mall. And, you know, I was obsessed with it, you know, for a while with these, you know, like street portraits and stuff. And it's been a phase. I go through phases about everything. But it was always like, what can I see next? What can I do next? And there are certain things, yes, that are etched into my mind, like seeing my father, you know, in tears, which I wish now there was a way to capture that in a photo and have it available, because like that emotional moment sparked something for me. And when I got the camera, I needed an outlet. I needed something new to replace all of my bad habits that I had had for so long. And now that I had this new habit, it was like, I can do anything I want to with it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt anybody. Like, it's free, sort of, you know, obviously I have horrible gas. Like, that's a whole other topic. But like, photography to me is free. And it's something that, you know, yes, I can etch it in my brain. And yes, when I see a picture that I've made, I'm drawn right back to that moment. Like, wow. Every detail and smell and, you know, the lighting, you know, but photography for me is something that I get to do that is not destructive, is, you know, beautiful in so many ways. And it's authentic. It's, I get to capture the reality of what I see, and I might edit it like crazy. I might screw it all up, you know, through Lightroom, but in that moment on the back of my screen, when I look at what I've captured, like I get the authenticity of that moment. And I love that photography in general was a gift that I found.
Wow. Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos. That's very powerful. So I want to know now about getting deeper into photography, because I'm sure that we can all think of a million people who, you know, take photos with their phone and then that's it. That's good enough for them. You know, you got that T3i. I'm sure that there was a technical hurdle to get over compared to a single button on a phone. Tell me what that journey was like. Did you start off in auto? Did you go straight to manual? What did you do?
When I first got it, I didn't touch it.
Why?
I'm slow to adapt at times. And I saw the camera as, you know, this blessing, like, you know, cool, there's a real camera now that I can use, but it terrified me. Mm-hmm. I was just like, there's buttons on here that I don't know what they are. Like, you know, you look at the Google Pixel and it's complicated, but it's still simple. It's like, oh, touch the screen, you can make it brighter or darker. I didn't know what ISO and aperture were, sure, you know, at that time. So looking at the camera, I was just like, what am I supposed to do with this? So it took me a minute to do it. But then when I picked it up one day, I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but I did pick it up and I was like, I'm just going to try. I'm just going to try. And I went out and, you know, the first 50 photos I took, you know, on my little like 8 gigabyte memory card, I think, that my mom handed me in her case, you know, they were blown out. They were all JPEG. They were all blown out. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I did the usual YouTube search. You know, I looked on the internet, and to be honest, you know, like I say this a lot, and I think it's something that I have to say out loud for myself, is like, you can watch all of this. You can watch these videos. You can listen to everybody else, but you need to go out and go figure it out. So I did. And I would walk for hours and hours on end with my camera, because I had the flexibility and the free time. And I would just start messing with buttons. And I did shoot on auto initially, but I remember, like, even before I got into photography, that like manual was something that people talked about. They're like, shooting manual. And I was like, does that mean your lens? Like, do you change the manual on the lens as you go along? And I was like, that doesn't feel right. Like, it goes out of focus and then it goes back into focus when I hit my button. So why is it not working for me? Oh, and so that was, you know, irritating at first, but then as I started to mess with the knobs and, you know, find out, you know, oh, if I open up my aperture, you know, it gets really bright all of a sudden. And I still didn't know at the time, like, focus points and stuff like that. So like, I just hold my camera up and take a picture and I'm like, it's bright. And my ISO is at like 800 and it's broad daylight and my photos are still blown out. So there was a lot of twisting and turning and learning, you know, as I went along. And eventually one day, you know, something clicked. And I think it was another picture of Union Station that I took, where the settings finally locked in. And I tweaked it a little bit, you know, in post. But right then I looked at the back of my camera and I was like, oh, holy crap, I made that. I made that. And it looks like, kind of looks like what I want it to look like.
That's got to feel real good. That's got to feel real good. But I want to know then, as somebody who, you know, you said that you can be resistant to change, when you go out and you shoot with that T3i and the first, you know, 50 photos are all blown out, why did you choose to YouTube, like to go to YouTube and Google, try to find an answer rather than just go back to your Pixel, which at that point you had known how to at least capture a photo that wasn't totally blown out?
Mm-hmm. I definitely used both for a while, but I think why I went to YouTube, because I was so focused on, I can do this now. Like, I'm also stubborn. Like, I'm very stubborn.
What a mix.
And I knew that, I think it took me a little bit to get on like Instagram and like all the, you know, popular photo sharing platforms and stuff like that at that point. So at this point, like, my only images were the only images that I really knew were mine.
Wow. You know,
occasionally I'd see other people, but it didn't really dawn on me that I could achieve those photos. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's next level professional Raymond Hatfield type stuff. Like, I'm never going to be able to pull that stuff off. But something inside of me was like, was irked at the fact that I couldn't get the basics. So I started to look up, what are the basics of this? Like, I didn't read my manual, like I heard talked about, you know, in the group. I was just like, let me YouTube it. Like, I'm 37 years old and, you know, I don't know how to use Instagram, but I can YouTube stuff. Like, I'm behind the times on everything, but I can learn. And I think that was, I was in that learning mindset, and I've been in that mindset this whole time of like, let me learn about this thing that I am passionate about, because everything else in my life, I kind of just, cool, I like it, it's done. Cool, you know, don't finish this, don't finish that. I have so many projects in my room that like have been started but never finished.
Same here.
But photography, photography has been something that I'm like, I'll never finish, but I can always learn more.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a huge, huge, I guess difference in mindset when you approach it like that. Like, if you are, I don't know what else you got going on in your room, but it's like building a table or whatever. Once it's done, it's done. You know, you're never mm-hmm. you're never gonna be that way about photography. Yeah, that's super cool that you learned that so quick. So then when you were shooting in manual, when mm-hmm. you started learning the basics. Now there's all these new terms, aperture, ISO, shutter speed, all these things. You're trying to figure them out. You know, is it the lens? You know, what is it? Was there anything in particular that you found especially difficult to grasp, to understand?
I think aperture was definitely one of the hardest ones, and tying them together. Because, you know, I'd look up diagrams, I'd be on YouTube, and like, I'd get like this basic understanding of, you know, like, if it's at ISO 100, you know, there's not a whole lot of light in the image. And so I thought, cool, let me crank my aperture, you know, to 2.8, and that'll fix it. So it took me a while to understand how all three of those things work together, you know, aperture, ISO, and shutter speed. Like, and so I remember there's a guy I follow named Reggie B Photo on Instagram. And I remember seeing one of his posts at one point talking about, if you want sharp portraits or photos, make sure your shutter speed is at least at 250. And I remember that in, you know, like I said, I forget things. That's why I typed out a bunch of stuff to talk about today, because I was like, I wasn't sure what's going to go on, but I remembered that in my head, and I was like, shutter speed 250. If I want a sharp photo, shutter speed 250. Then I can fidget with it and go from there. But I want a sharp photo. Like, in this one instance, I know what I want to do with the photo. So 250, I can screw around with everything else now. That was one piece of the puzzle for me. And then everything else kind of fell into place even more so. Street photos don't need to be open at 2.8 aperture or 1.4. Right. I can shoot them at 5.6. And my ISO, cool. I'm in a dark alley or a cloudy alley. So don't put my ISO at 100, you know, probably put it at 400 or maybe even 800, depending on what I'm trying to do. It's okay to blow out the background if my subject is okay. Or, you know, this is long before I even tried flash. So
I bet that was an entirely other beast to be able to conquer. Yeah, for sure. You're like, yep, absolutely.
So, that's another episode altogether, dude.
We'll make it happen. So today, though, you know, it's been several years since you've been shooting, 2018. Today, what is it that you're shooting most?
Cool. Obsessively, firefighters.
Tell me about that. What about firefighters?
So I live right downtown Denver, literally like near skyscrapers, about half a mile away. So I've got the skyline right out my back window. And within that are one, two, three, four fire stations within, like a 5 minute drive of me. So I just started one day just shooting firefighters. And, I love the fire trucks. I was like, cool, my inner 5-year-old is so triggered right now that I'm so excited about this. And initially it was just like, this is something that's like real. And this is something that I can kind of control, but it's out of my control. But it's like, I hear the engine coming down the road and I'm like, let me go chase it. And then this is my subject, which, like I said, I'm all over the place. I don't finish anything. I'm chaotic, but firefighters for some reason drew me in, and it evolved past just shooting the fire trucks too. I love having an emotional connection to something. And for me, that's what photography is. Like I've evolved, I not evolved rather. I think I've progressed past just shooting, the dog that I see on the corner, or, just shooting, that really cool looking building, to I need to connect to what I'm shooting. And I would see these firefighters get out of their trucks and go inside into the emergency and come back out. And I, got the balls to actually ask one of them one day, can I take your photograph? And he said, yeah. And I was like, whoa,
You didn't know what to do. You're like, oh,
seriously,
wrong number. Just walk
I
away.
didn't. I didn't. And I remember I took the photos. Like I think I had my camera set on high speed, so I get, a couple bursts, because God knows what's gonna happen. But I think I took the photos, and that first one that I took of a firefighter was actually pretty bad. Like it was blown out, and I tried to like salvage it later, by bringing down the exposure and all that. But I did it again, and I went out and shot another, fire truck that I saw coming down the street. And eventually, Station 8, which is one of my favorites, I saw them one day. I was taking one of my boys to his job, and I drove past the fire truck on my way to get him to work. And I was like, I always keep my camera on me, like always. Like this backpack right here,
Yes.
it goes with me everywhere. I mean, yeah, I can't open it right now, otherwise it'll fall on the floor. But it's always in the car with me. And I saw the fire truck, came back. They were still parked in front of this big cathedral, next to City Park, downtown Denver. And I got out my car. I walked like 2 blocks because I was going to block traffic if I stopped where I was. And I walked up to the side of truck number 8 in front of this big cathedral. And I saw the image. Like, this is another time where I was like, oh my God, I see this image before I take it. I want this image for what I'm seeing in my head. And I looked at the guys on the truck and I said, can I take photos? And they're like, absolutely. Will you send us those photos or tag us on Instagram? And I was like, sure, absolutely. I would love to do that. And I did. Well, lo and behold, I tagged them. And that's two parts. So most fire departments here in Denver, or actually all the fire departments here in Denver, they don't have like a PR person. They don't have a or a photographer, I should say.
Sure.
So, law enforcement does, everybody else does, but firefighters don't. So they love getting photos taken of them. They love seeing that the public is like acknowledging them. And so I think that's been part of why I keep doing it. But the other part of that story is I posted, I tagged them, and then one of the firefighters' wives reached out and said, I love that shot you got of my husband on truck 8. Will you sell me a print of it? And this is the first time I asked in the podcast. I was like, what do I charge for prints? I don't know what I charge.
Yeah, this is a whole new thing.
So it was, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm not gonna lie, over the past year or so, I thought that you were a firefighter. Like the amount of photos that you were posting of firefighters, I just assumed. I was like, there's no way that this guy just follows fire trucks. He has to be a firefighter. But no, it turns out you follow fire trucks, and that is what you love. That is such a cool story. So today, do you have like a working relationship with them, where you just go and you photograph them and you just have fun? Like, what's the I don't want to say what's the goal, because I guess that makes it sound too businessy, but is this some sort of like, hey guys, I'm going to show up every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or only when there's fires, or, you know, tell me when you show up. There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
So I have horrible time management skills.
So there's no answer here. It's just whenever.
Unfortunately, you know, with like HoneyBook, it's kind of streamlined a lot of my process and everything. So it's like, okay, I can't keep track of this. But with the firefighters, between my regular job and then, you know, scheduling out events that I'm actually going to be shooting now, honestly, it's the sound of the fire truck that gets me out the door. I'm lucky, I guess, in the fact that like all around Denver, like anybody, I don't care if it's in your hometown or Denver or any major metropolitan area, like there's a fire truck somewhere. And so what I've done, like you've seen, you know, all I post is firefighter photos, because that's just what the obsession that I'm in right now. Sure. You know, next week it could be, you know, like, let me go shoot kittens for the hell of it. Like, I follow them, you know. If I hear about them being somewhere, I have a connection now to almost every department now. So because of my Instagram, because of me continuously posting something that, you know, for me is something I love, but, you know, it also has an effect on other people. And so the fire department people have all been following me on Instagram and they reach out. They're like, do you want to come tour Station One? I'm like, absolutely. Will you take photos? Absolutely. Will you sell us some? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lady that I met just doing street photography down at the ice skating rink back in November, December, she, her father was a cop and passed away, unfortunately. But she and I connected in that moment. I took her picture and she's like, oh my God, this is great. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a photographer. But like, but I shared the photo with her. She followed me on Instagram, and because of her connection to the first responder community, she reached out to me to be a photographer for her first responder appreciation events. So wow. Once a month now, I have a contract with her to shoot those events, and she uses the photos for advertising. I don't charge a crazy amount of money like I probably should for the amount of work I do, but because it is something that I love, you know, I genuinely enjoy just going back to keep doing it.
Oh, that is so cool to hear. You know, one thing that I feel a lot of people talk about in the group, and I'm not sure if you feel the same way or not, but I feel like a lot of people bring up this idea of like, I love photography. I would love to get paid for it, but I'm worried that if I turn it into a business, then I'm going to lose that joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case for you, because it seems like you followed the joy and now you're just taking photos of the things that you already love. I don't know if there's a question there. Is there anything to say about that?
I think I've definitely taken a while to appreciate my own self-worth when it comes to photography. Like I said, I shot my first wedding for $200, as I think a lot of people probably do when they first get in and they have no clue what they're doing. They're like, $200 sounds like I'm making a, you know, a massive amount of money.
Right.
You know, for rent in Denver, yes, that's a decent chunk of money. But I think once I started to acknowledge that I wasn't just this guy with a camera, Like, I wasn't just a person who spent hours shooting everything I possibly could to get photos that I actually like and that I'm proud of. I started to appreciate the fact that, one, I can't pay for all this stuff out of my regular salary, so I need to charge for it. And two, like, I haven't, what am I trying to say? It's, I guess whether it be weddings or the firefighters or all that stuff, like, it's, the charging money has been an extension of all that. Like, it's been cool. Like, I would love to photograph your event. And 9 times out of 10, most people are like, what do you charge? As opposed to, thanks for just doing this for us. And it's like, that built more confidence in me. And then, you know, talking to people in the group, they're, you know, like, you know, when I have a really good photo day, you know, like a really good hair day, like I'm having right now, you know, everybody's like, you know, you should be charging. And I think I need that encouragement at times, because, you know, I, like I said, I acknowledge my self-worth, but there are times when I go back and I'm like, today was a really crappy photo day. Like, I took a photo because I take one every single day, but it's crap what I took today. I did it way too quickly. But now, you know, I've got a couple weddings booked this year. I've got more firefighter events. I've got all these things that I love to do. And yes, like, consequentially, is that the right word? I think that's the right word. You know, people have realized, and I've started to realize, that I'm a photographer.
Yes.
Like, I have skills. I'm not just some guy on, you know, the street corner, you know, taking random photos anymore. I've spent the last 3-4 years learning, and I'm worth it now. And that's been both terrifying and awesome to experience at the same time.
Are you normally that kind of person, or is this okay? So normally the idea of putting yourself out there is something that, that you're not, that is not foreign to you. Like, you're going to go out there and you're going to try something and you're going to give it your all.
It depends on what it is. Yes. You know, like, I, what did I do? I love karaoke. I haven't done it in years, but I love it. Turns out, at least from what everyone else tells me, I'm a pretty dang good singer. But, you know, it did take one drunken night many, many years ago for me to even get started in that. And, you know, I love it. With photography, yes, like, there's certain parts of it, like street photography. I am no master, and I will never claim that I am, but, like, street photography, I am comfortable with that. Like, I can get on a street corner, I can stand in an alleyway, I can park myself, and I, like, frame up, you know, a shot, and I'll just hit the shutter. And, like, I love what I walk away with. But, you know, I'm currently, you know, still learning flash. You know, I'm still learning even just basic lighting, because I'll admit, like, some of my photos, I do revert to black and white because I'm just like, yep, that was trash, but it looks really good in black and white. But there's just parts of that that flash, like I said, and a couple other things that I'm just like, yeah, this is going to take a while. I'm this is not a run and gun type. I'm going to get it on the first try. And I think that terrifies me and excites me at the same time.
Let's talk a little bit more about black and whites, because I'm looking at your black and whites that you sent over. When you say that a lot of times you convert photos to black and white because the lighting is not good, are you talking specifically about the color of light, or just okay, hold on. When I look at these photos that you sent over, at least none of them look in black and white. None of them look like, ooh, yeah, I bet in color this would be like really harsh light or bad intensity of light, quality of light. Do you have anything like any rules specifically why you turn a photo black and white? Because I love your black and whites. I think that they are, that they're rich, that they're contrasty, that they feel right. They don't feel like, why is this black and white? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So why do you choose to make a photo black and white?
I think, so like I said, originally when I did it, it was because I was trying to cover up a lot, like whether it be poor lighting situations, like inside of a venue. And I'm like, oh, this will look better in black and white because it does not look good with this like horrible shade of teal and this off color, like yellow light ceiling. Sure. Like, so I would do that, you know, is my little cheat code, so to speak. But one of the many photographers that I've like started to follow, or at least that I admire, Kirsten Lewis, the family documentary photographer who happens to live right in the neighborhood.
Hey.
She has this rule. I watched her on Creative Live, and she had this rule that she learned from somebody else, which, you know, I love that, you know, knowledge passed on. She has this rule of black and white being applied to an image just across the board when color is necessary to make the photo look like something or bring, you know, your eye to that focal point, then, you know, put the color in there. And I think that's what I've started to do without even realizing it. Like my firefighter shot, like the one with the firefighter walking down the side of the fire truck, like color didn't do anything to that. Like you could see that it was a fire truck. You could see that it was in a neighborhood. You could see the firefighter. What I wanted to do was draw attention to like the emotion behind it. And I think that's what black and white started to do for me, is strip away like this need to make it a certain color or, you know, blow it out. I still play with color. I love color. Like I took pictures of my niece and, and I love that I accidentally found like the right edit that I thought I needed in that photo. But 9 times out of 10, I go back to the black and white because I'm like, I'm more emotionally drawn to this than, you know, like the perfect skin tone or, you know, the yellow on the fire truck or the green in the trees. Like, I want you more to focus on what emotions are in this.
Mm, that's a great distinction right there. Thank you. Do you have a favorite photo of yours?
Ooh. Oh, right now, my favorite photo is of my dad and my niece. And my sister-in-law asked me to shoot it. She was here in town visiting and she brought my niece and they were at my parents' house. And my family doesn't have, we have a ton of photos, but like my family's very particular about what photos we take. They don't like them posted on social media for security reasons, military and all that stuff. Like they just don't like their stuff out there.
Sure.
But I had my camera with me and I was like, screw this. I'm going to take photos of my family. Like I'm the family photographer and I want to take photos of my family. Yeah. So I'm going to do it. And so I stood up and I just walked around the room and my dad was sitting against this window and he was holding my niece, you know, right here on his knee. She's like 7 months old. And, you know, my family's a soccer family. So soccer is up on the TV. And my dad's sitting here with this window behind him. My niece is on his knee. They're both looking off towards the TV, which you can't see because I framed them up just there. Mm-hmm. And my dad's just looking up. My niece is just kind of doing her own thing. And I reverted to black and white because, again, I had the emotional connection to it. I was like, I don't need the color in this. And the window was all blown out because they were backlit. So I had to make them the subject and blow it, you know, brighten them up. And that honestly is one of my favorite photos ever taken right now.
What is it about that photo as opposed to any of the other photos that you have sent me? Like what element do you think is in that photo? Is it because it's so personal with your family? Mm-hmm. Is it a technical aspect? What is it about that photo that you love so much?
I think D, all of the above, but it is a personal moment. And I think that's definitely part of my photography. Like I need to have that connection to something. And it was also me stepping outside of my comfort zone and telling everybody else in the family, I'm like, what's the point of me having this camera if I can't document the things that are most important to me? Because, you know, as my parents like to point out, you know, you're like the will's in the safe and, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? They're like, we're getting older. And I'm like, yeah. And I have no photos of you that other than, you know, your family vacation you took to, or not family, you know, they go on lots of trips because they're retired now, and they might take a photo of them in China or France, but I've never taken a photo of them. So their memories are not the memories that I have. And so I think the most important part about the photo, besides the generational of watching my niece and my dad, is that I took a photo of something important to me, and it will forever be something that I remember, no matter where I am in life. I don't care if I'm 90 and I've forgotten everything. I'm sure when I look at that photo, some emotion will be triggered when I look at it. And even if I can't recall that exact moment, I will recall what I felt when I saw it, when I made it.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I was going to go some route of like, well, how can you incorporate that into your everyday photography? You know, if the power of this photo is, you know, the fact that it's your family, how do you, but that's a terrible question. You're like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is my family and this means a whole lot to me. And I can appreciate that. I do. I want to ask now, because you are coming up in, I believe, May, you're going to reach 1 year in the group. So we're going to have a big celebration, of course. I want to know, first of all, how did you find the Facebook community? And what's been something that you learned in the group that you wish that you would have learned earlier?
Wow. I feel like I'm going backwards in age because, you know, I'm 40 years old, but I'm 4 years old in recovery. Now I'm a year old in the beginner photography podcast.
It's impossible to keep up. So many different dates.
Give me a leap year already so I can catch up. Like, I found the beginner photography podcast though at the, I think it was the beginning, maybe the middle of 2020. I started listening to it. And that for me, there were many, many episodes that I would listen to. And, you know, at one point my drive was almost an hour to work. So I would listen to it in the hour that I drive. And, you know, that 45-minute snippet of, you know, knowledge that you dropped on us with whoever your guest was, I was just like, oh my God. Like, and then, you know, like Elizabeth DeVoe, who I'm friends with, you know, through the group, you know, Kimberly Irish, Jim Snecky, you know, Mr. Worthington. I can never remember if his first name is like Quincy or something else.
Quincy, yeah. So regal. Yeah.
Barry Petty Clarence, like all of these people were accessible all of a sudden. And, you know, their stories of, you know, how they've journeyed through photography, like kept bringing me back to the podcast. And, you know, you would interview some famous people, which I never remember famous people names. I'm just like, I don't know who you are. Like, but your story sounds cool. Like that one lady from New York who's like got the really foul mouth, but then she would like, but she's done like five different careers in photography. And then she was doing the women, you know, she did her mother who had cancer.
Oh,
I
yes.
think.
Yes.
Yes. Like, I can't remember her name to save my life, but I remember the you know, the podcast episode.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Dina Goldstein.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. But hearing all that, that's what kept me on the podcast. And I think one day I was listening to, you know, somebody say something about the group, and I was in there, and all of a sudden I'm like, cool, I can post here, like, and people appreciate it. Like, I think part of me always seeks approval, but a part of me also likes the fact that there's a community of people who are just like me. So the approval was less from like, oh, you know, Ansel Adams, do you approve of my landscape photo? It was more like, I'm posting in the group, and, you know, T. Woods or, you know, Mr. Clarence or Elizabeth, like, they're like, I love what you did there. Or, you know, your lighting looks a little off on that. Can I offer a suggestion? Like, I've never, ever, 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 ever had somebody say something negative within the group to me. And, you know, I would venture I'm lucky, but I also have seen that the group is not full of that. It's not full of negativity. It's full of positivity. And me being as fragile as I am as a four-year-old, you know, I need encouragement. I need love. I need, you know, pieces of advice, you know, in snippets that I can randomly remember when I'm off shooting a caterpillar on the ground or a firefighter driving by. Like, do this with your lighting, you know, grab a gray card next time you're trying to do this. You know, have you tried raising your shutter speed so you can capture, like, this group, along with, you know, other little pieces that I've kind of built into my community, have been monumental in my journey of learning photography. And I think that's why I continue to stay in the group, although I've really sucked lately at, like, being involved, because life has just been happening. And
of course,
I haven't taken the photos, you know, that I want to be taking as regularly. But, you know, I still log in and I still see people's posts, and, you know, I still see the encouragement. I still see the, you know, the criticisms that are needed, you know, for people to grow. Like, all of that I still see, and I love it. And I love welcoming spaces. So that's why I keep coming back.
Oh, man. I want to know, because this has been something that has come up before from others who have said, you know, that the group is too full of positive energy and that there's no way that somebody can grow without direct criticism. What do you have to say to that? Do you think it's possible to grow with only positive feedback without any negative feedback?
I think it is. I think if you're looking for the harsh criticisms, if you're looking for the, you know, the Gordon Ramsays of photography.
Oh, that's horrible.
Like, I know. If you're looking for those people, there are avenues to find that. You can have your portfolio critiqued by, you know, one of the big game players at National Geographic, or I remember, you know, an interview that you did with somebody who did submit his portfolio, and the guy said, this is trash, except for this, this, and this. This looks like what you are drawn to, so produce more of that, and then come back and see me. Like, I think there's definitely a safe place right now within the photography podcast to be positively critiqued. But I think there's definitely other places where people should go to be, you know, razzed a little bit. Like, sometimes you do need to have that reality of, if you want to go be an editorial shooter and you want to go get in, you know, Vogue or Vanity Fair, like, you need to have somebody tell you what it is that they're looking for and tell you that is trash, or that is not what I'm looking for, or this is what you need to improve on, or come back tomorrow and shadow, you know, my assistant's camera, you know, bag holder.
Yeah.
You know, spend some time in the field. I think those people are necessary, but I think in this group, this is where people come to be encouraged, not to be ripped apart, because we're all beginners. I'm still a beginner. I still take terrible photos, but I get out every day to take them. I even made myself late to work this morning, you know, because I'm driving downtown and the moon was lined up perfectly in between two skyscrapers. Is it going to be a great photo? Probably not. Did I know the technical things that I needed to do to get the photo that I wanted to see? Yes, because I constantly practice and I let other people in the group, you know, ask me questions or positively critique me to say, hey, this is good, but what did you try to achieve in this? Mm-hmm. You know, what were you trying to make this photo look like, rather than, you know, well, you should do this or you should do that. Like, cool, you can tell me that all you want to, but until that's what I want to achieve with the photo, until I'm more focused on what I want to do, which is something I struggle with right now, editing style and focus, like, on a specific, you know, subject matter, I've got a trial and error, but I get to come to the group to trial and error with everybody else.
Ooh, I get to try in the, I get my trial and error in the group with everybody else. That, oh, I love that so much. That is so cool because, you know, when it comes to learning photography, I think that it is so interesting that you went so long without seeing others' work, that you only saw your own work and that you only got better based on that. And then now that you are seeing others' work, that it wasn't, I'm sure that it could have went the other way for many people. It just, like, crushed you, like, oh, I thought I was this really good photographer, and now, you know, you see, probably people who've been doing it for 10 plus years and feel discouraged by that. But instead you went the other way and you're like, no, we're going to talk this out. I'm going to learn what it's going to take to make this photography thing work and take great photos. Ty, I don't know how to end it any better than that, man. That was wonderful right there. Before I let you go, listeners know that they can find you in the group. Where else can they follow you online? Where can they see some of your work?
So I am forever working on a website, and because I'm a procrastinator and I'm stubborn and I'm, adverse to change, but you can find me on Instagram, two different Instagrams. One is at Tyes, T-Y-I-S underscore E-Y-E-S. It's just my name. It's no funny pronunciation or anything. Or at Life Without the Script. I decided that I was going to go with a new brand for my, not even sure what I want to call it, photography yet, but I'm going to start using that for all the stuff that's more business related.
Remember, this Community Spotlight series is all about you and the supportive beginner photography podcast community. If you want to be a part of this supportive community, we would love to have you. Just search Facebook for Beginner Photography Podcast or click the link on the homepage at beginnerphotographypodcast.com to join the safest place on the internet for new photographers today. Again, thank you so much for listening. And remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.